You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypertheical.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hey guys, it's Kelsey Childs, but everyone knows me as the paranormal Sherlock Holmes. I'm here today for another game of real or spooky, creepy, scary, creepy! Yay!
Hi everyone, it's Pamela J, your favorite skeptic, and here to play another round of Real or Creepy.
That's right, we're here for another episode of Real or Creepy. They've been kind enough to do four episodes with us, so we're on number three. We're going to jump into our next story. This story is titled, I'm Traumatized and Can't Sleep in the Dark Since. Jeez. When I was young, I had a paranormal experience that traumatized me. I'm now 26 years old, and this story still haunts me since I still have no answers to what happened. I've always been a little skeptical about paranormal stories. I believe in them since that day, but I still have a rational judgment before telling myself that paranormal events are true. My mother raised me, my sister, and my brother alone. We all knew my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather. I remember them a little, but it's still quite blurry. My mother's great-grandfather passed away from cancer when I was 5. My great-grandmother died when I was 7. Shortly after the death of my great-grandmother, my mother and I were talking about them while watching It's Something We Watched Near Christmas in Quebec, about how much we missed our great-grandparents. Later in the evening, we all went to bed, and we heard a heavy bam come out of nowhere. It was as if lightning had fallen near our apartment. My mother panicked and came quick to check to see if we were safe. We fell asleep on this event, not giving too much importance to it. From the next day, paranormal activity started. It started with little progressive things. The volume of the television went up and down on its own. The lights flashed. There were noises in our locker and little things to which we gave no real importance since we were always looking for a rational reason for the events. Then after a while, things got worse for us. I don't know if it was sleep paralysis, but I would wake up at night in my bed. I would hear a bang in the wall behind me with a constant pattern. It marked me so much I was even paralyzed with fear. I could not turn around, neither move nor speak. It lasted a few days. I remember panicking and talking to my mother about this problem. I did not even want to sleep in my bed. I slept with my little sister for a while. Paranormal activities have never been beyond this, but we were also scared, and my mother, not knowing what to do, had brought us to church and brought rosary. I remember hanging it on the bed at night. It was what consoled me during my irrational fear. It stopped the days my mother told us that we should talk and tell the ghost that we were okay and that he had to leave. Since the activity stopped for a while, but it left me in fear since then, I can't sleep in the dark. I'm 26 years old today, and I still wonder what happened and if people have experienced something similar. I've believed in the paranormal ever since. So since they said Quebec, I'm guessing maybe English is not their first language, just based on the way that that was written. But audience, I did my best to transcribe some of that. Kelsey, what do you think about that one? I mean, it's the story was a little all over the place, but essentially kind of your classic haunted home experience where a relative or relatives pass away, paranormal activity starts acting up. Although I did find this one a little strange that it seemed like it was loved ones that passed away and the paranormal activity came in a negative way. That's an interesting twist on the story. Did you find this to be creepypasta, or do you think this really happened?
I think it really happened, but you know what's interesting is I think I had mentioned this on the solo episode I did with you that I can see ghosts. That's just something that's always been a part of me. I've noticed through experience that the death of a loved one can attract something else in. It's almost like Velcro, kind of like how mediums describe their senses as Velcro to a spirit. So it's spirits are attracted to energy and all energy is delicious to them. Negative energy is like dessert. Good energy is like dinner. And no energy, you're not feeding them. So it's why a lot of houses are haunted where someone went through something traumatic. That's my theory with that. I think it's real, but the sleep paralysis thing is so interesting to me. Because I believe that sleep paralysis is not hypnagogic hallucinations. I believe that there's sometimes, not all the time, there's something else going on. And you might be wondering, Kelsey, I'm Pamela. I don't believe in this stuff. Explain yourself. Well, I will, Pamela. Thank you.
Exactly
No
what I was
problem.
thinking.
Yeah. One of my best friends growing up, he used to get the most horrific sleep paralysis. Where he would hear nails like clacking on his floor, like from a dog. He would describe it as a hellhound sort of thing. And he would see just these horrific, horrific figures, hallucinations, ghosts, whatever you want to say, demons. I'm not a heart sold on demons, but he said to me, I really want to get a dog. And if I get a dog, I'm going to name that dog Aries. And I think it might help me with the sleep paralysis. So a few years go by, like 2 or 3, and his friend, who he's now dating, she approaches him and is like, I have this husky. He needs a home, and his name is Aries. And so then adopts Aries, brings Aries home, and never had another sleep paralysis incident again. So another couple years go by, and I say to my friend, it's really interesting, your dog's name is Aries. Because I don't know if you remember telling me this in like a conversation we were having, because it was probably 2, 3 a.m., that you wanted to get a dog and name it Aries. And he was like, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. I didn't even think about that when I adopted this dog. And I was like, have you had any sleep paralysis? No sleep paralysis. It's been good. That's just crazy. So that's my belief with sleep paralysis. And you know, stories like Hat Man, the woman in all black. I've had some experiences at my haunted house growing up. So not exactly sleep paralysis, but it's just, I feel like there's more to it. Now Pamela's gonna come in and be like, well, I think I'm a skeptic.
My fair share of sleep paralysis. Since I got on Lexapro, I rarely ever have it anymore. It seems to be connected to anxiety for me for whatever reason. But I would see a giant black spider either dropping down from the ceiling, like towards my face, or crawling on the pillow next to me, that kind of thing.
Oh my God.
And when it first started happening, I thought it was a spider legitimately in the bed. And I would like roll out of the bed onto the floor trying to get away from
Oh.
it. But it had gotten to the point where it happened so much, I would just go sleep paralysis and like go back to sleep. You know, I was just like, fuck you, you're not real. Anyway, I guess I just felt like I had to share my story. I don't know what I'm doing there. So,
No, it's true. It's well, sleep paralysis is such a real thing and it's horrifying.
So, Kelsey, you were talking about the delicious energy of spirits. So I guess that makes Pamela like the Ozempic of ghosts.
The Ozempic of ghosts.
She's not covered by insurance, but she's here nonetheless.
No, it's all out of pocket.
Yeah, it's definitely out of pocket. This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So, Pamela, what do you think about this one? You know, again, you've got some hauntings at a home. You've got, deceased loved ones, some of your classic tropes. But the way it's written, I mean, I will say for me, kind of like what Kelsey said, you know, it felt real, but at least real to them. What were your feelings on this one?
I definitely think it was real to them, just for the reasoning that, one, grief can do a lot of things to a person. It can make them depressed. It can cause them to have some type of anxiety. It can make them think about death and their own mortality. And then that sends them on an entire spiral on its own. So with all of that happening and then sleep paralysis happening, it's just a whole negative string of events. And I think that it can absolutely lead someone to try to explain what's going on by simply saying, I think there's a spirit. I think there's a ghost. I think there's a negative entity. When in reality, I believe that it's just your brain. I think that your brain is incredibly powerful. I think it's also incredibly dangerous, and it can make you see things that aren't there. It can make you feel things that might not be there. So I genuinely think that it was real to them for the sake of they were experiencing something that could be very traumatic. And then that causes your brain to do a whole domino effect of things.
Hey, cite your sources.
Me.
That's what I thought.
No, I'm just kidding. There's so many. Statement. There's so many sources.
I thought you were just going to go science.
Science. I'm not a doctor. No, there's there's so many sleep studies and psychological, like academic journals.
No, I think you both make valid points there. I mean, that's kind of the fun of reading these stories, especially one like that, that feels a little disjointed at times in the storytelling itself. I don't know. It's interesting. I would like to think that if I experience trauma from losing someone, I'm not going to get some asshole ghost that's not them come in and be like, yeah, well, your day sucks. I'm about to make it a lot worse and start
that's
banging
just rude.
Shit all through the house. But I thought that was interesting what you said, Kelsey, because I had not really heard that point of view on that before. So we're going to jump into our next one. This one has a very interesting title, Seeing Ghosts of People Who Were Autopsied. I was posted in a primary healthcare center with a fellow senior doctor. It was our night shift, and he started to tell me stories of the time when he was doing autopsies in the same hospital. He was shifted to PHC, couldn't deal with the trauma that came later. He said that not all autopsies led to hauntings, but it was people where the cases of death were unnatural. It were these cases that led to some of the most disturbing paranormal activities. One such case he narrated the night was a woman in her mid-20s who experienced extreme trauma and was strangled. And later, she was thrown into a well by her in-laws. Jesus Christ. Such incidences are common in rural areas of India. They hope to escape the changes, but after thorough examination of her lungs by my colleague, who was the senior doctor who did her autopsy, it was obvious that she was killed first and then thrown in the well. The in-laws of this woman tried to pay a hefty amount to him, escape the charges, but he refused. After that incident, he said that he often saw the woman, wet hair, bulging eyes, with no clothes, with a white pale body, often sitting by his bedside, just looking at him. He said it wasn't sleep paralysis. He was shattered when one time as he was combing his hair in the bathroom mirror and he saw that same woman just peeking at him through the door. Only her eyes and her wet hair were visible through the mirror. It became so traumatic that he left that part of his profession completely, even though he was getting paid a lot for that job. He said he doesn't ever wish to go back. And the fact that it was the same hospital where I'm working in right now is really creepy. So, Pamela, he said he's not going to lie, but did you feel like that story was a lie? Was that creepypasta? Or do you think this doctor that performed autopsies was seeing, you know, people who had experienced extreme trauma in their death, whether it had been murdered or worse and then murdered, I guess? Anyway, I don't know. We don't need to get into the math of that.
I kind of relate to this story in a way.
What?
You know this. I was an intern on a cold case investigation team. And so me and a couple of other interns, majority of our job was looking at horrific crime scene photos, people who didn't have heads, and some pretty horrific details that I won't get into. But I also got out of that field because I would see those people's faces in everyday life. And I don't think it was necessarily like, oh, I saw them sitting on my bed. It was just like a flash of like that image. Like I would be doing the dishes, or I would be going and walking into TJ Maxx, and I would just like immediately just randomly get a flash of that person's face. And it was just like, ew, 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 ew. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then you would just like snap back. So I think that it is creepypasta. However, I do think that when you see a horrific image, it can kind of stick with you a little bit. And then you might see it in other and random parts of your day. It's kind of like when people, have you ever done something really embarrassing? And like randomly, you'll just be like in the shower and you think about, oh, I did that really embarrassing thing 7 years ago. And you just kind of like cringe like at the thought of you doing that thing 7 years ago. It's kind of like that, but you just see like a little flash image. I think it's creepypasta.
I've never done anything embarrassing, but Kelsey, I'm sure you can relate to that. So.
Every second of every day, man. I came out of my mom's womb, I made a real weird noise. I still think about that.
God. Kelsey, what'd you think about this one? Did this feel like, oh, sorry, guys, she's blowing her nose. This certainly had elements of creepypasta. What did you think about this one?
I don't know. I feel like it's real. I mean, there are two aspects for it. The first is I've definitely woken up as like someone who can see ghosts. The first theme for me is that I've woken up to someone sitting on the edge of my bed or standing over me. It happened all the time in the house I grew up in. I have like two recent examples if you want to hear them. The first one, I was sleeping back at my parents' house, and this time staying at my parents' house, I said to them, I'm not coming back without my dog. I'm not coming back without my dog because so much weird shit happened. But I woke up and I had this giant dehumidifier because I liked the white noise coming from it. And I'm very particular about that because when I was a kid, I used to hear voices coming from the white noise. And they say that certain types of white, pink, or brown noise can be used as a portal for spirits to communicate through or come through. But I had this big tower of a dehumidifier. And I woke up and there was a woman standing over it, pointing at it, screaming, "Press the button! Press the button!" I was like, I'm going back to sleep. Because this is just something I do nowadays where I'm like, nope, I'm going back to sleep. So I just went back to sleep, woke up again, and there was a man standing over it. Press the button! Press the button! I was like, I'm going back to sleep. What button? What do you want me? Like, I'm not turning it off. And then even more recently, I think it was the end of 2022. I kept hearing footsteps up and down my hallway, and I woke up, and there was a man sitting on the edge of my bed, staring at me. And he looked a little bit like same facial structure as John Locke from Lost. But yeah, I looked at him, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Paul." I was like, "Who the fuck you are?" I went right back to sleep, and I woke up sometime. I
She
woke up
like trying to
sometime
sell you a
later.
timeshare or something? Like, hi, I'm Paul.
So I woke up sometime later, and then there was a woman sitting on the edge of my bed, and she had long chestnut brown hair, a longer face, blunt edges, like very 1970s. And she goes, "Hi, I'm Jenny. Ignore Paul." And I was like, "No."
We hate Paul.
I just went back to sleep just to validate, like, that sort of stuff does happen to people who are more sensitive. And then on another hand, I'm sorry, this is such a long explanation, but I got so excited about the story. Not excited about the atrocities, but the ghost part. There was a story we covered in season one, Teresita Bassa. She was murdered by her coworker, Alan Showery, but it was a cold case for a really long time. And she was a respiratory therapist, and she visited her colleague, I guess, and ended up speaking through his wife. She was Filipino. She had immigrated to America to, quote, live a better life, as it's stated in all the articles. And the wife, who was American, English speaking, doesn't know how to speak Filipino, started speaking Filipino. And when the doctor asked, "Who am I talking to?" in Filipino, the wife said, "It is me, Teresita Bassa." And she told him who killed her. And then Alan Showery ended up being convicted.
I just can't imagine, Kelsey, people like you that have experiences all the time. That's such a I don't know. Peace be with you. I don't know what to say. Like that's a it seems like that would be hard to handle at times.
Don't love it.
Yeah, I imagine that's it's a lot. I don't know. It's intense. I'm trying to think of a segue. I didn't want to bring up Pamela's dog again, so I have to go somewhere else.
I was gonna say, like, how different are we? Like, you are completely paranormal believer, you have medium abilities, and then I'm over here that's like, nah, no science. Nah.
Pamela, one day I'll tell you all of my stories.
All right, guys. Well, that was a. I don't know why my voice.
I do that so much.
Well, Kelsey, as I've been told, I'm going to throw it to you so where we can all know the deets on the podcast and social media. So why don't you share that with our audience?
Well, Pamela and I are the Haunted Detective Podcast. We are on literally every streaming platform out there. So definitely go check us out if you like podcasts that have the pillars of true crime, paranormal, unsolved mysteries, weird history, everything that a ghost lover would want, really.
Awesome. And Pamela, where can our audience find out more information about you?
You can find me on my TikTok at the Miss Pamela J. And my YouTube is the exact same, the Miss Pamela J. And you can find me over on Instagram at Miss Pammy J, J-A-Y.
Well, thanks, guys. That's another episode of Real or Creepy.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.